good Muslim, bad Muslim.
Welcome to our special edition.
We've never done a special edition before. We think that it's about time that we have a special edition.
Can we veer from the canon?
We can veer from the canon because it is 2 weeks before Election Day, and we're just going to make this whole theme Election Watch. This is the Election Watch episode of Good Muslim, Bad Muslim.
We have seen a war on faith.
Is there a Muslim problem in the world?
Absolutely.
I would not advocate that we put a Muslim in charge of this nation.
Taz, guess what?
What?
I won an award.
Oh my gosh, I did too.
What was your award for?
Rising Star Award from the OCA Greater Los Angeles.
Wait, mine was the OCA Rising Star Award.
Did they think we were the same people? Because that seems to be happening a lot.
Are you the one married to an infidel?
Are you the one that's single?
These are the important questions we're going to answer in this month's good Muslim, bad Muslim.
But in all honesty, we did win an award. We're really grateful to OCA for giving us this award. We went to the dinner last month. It was beautiful. It was great. Thank you, OCA. If you don't know them, look them up. They're a great organization in Los Angeles. They have chapters all across the country. They do a lot of civic engagement work in the Asian American community, and they're awesome. Thank you for having us, and it was a great honor.
And I got to meet Amy Hill.
Yeah.
From Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Yes. Did you actually get to meet her, or did you just take a Snapchat with her in the background?
Shut up, Taz. Taz, you and I both were in the Bay Area, but in different locations for Litquake.
Yeah. Yeah, I was at an event that wasn't Litquake oriented, but it was literature oriented. We were at the Good Girls Mary Doctors book reading. If you came, thanks for coming. I know a lot of our fans were there. It was beautiful. There was 200 people in the audience. I made lots of people cry. People were hugging me afterwards and crying.
Aww.
I've just come to accept that I make people cry, and I'm okay with that.
Well, now my comment feels inappropriate.
Just say it.
Okay, I was going to say, I'm the one married to a doctor. I'm the good Muslim.
Almost doctor.
Shut up, Thomas.
How was your event? What was Litquake like?
I went to the ANCSI event, which was at the Battery. And before that, I did the Straight Up No Chaser Litquake, like, ta-da, that happens every year at the start of Litquake.
If there's anyone out there that can hook Zara and I up with a membership to the Battery, we'd really appreciate it.
We did a video with Fusion.
Which is awesome. By the time this podcast goes up, it should be out. The Good Muslim, Bad Muslim Guide to Voting. Check it out. We'll have it on our website.
And I was on Politically Reactive as a guest co-host.
OMG, you're like the new Hari.
Oh my God, don't say that. Taz.
Yeah.
Are you into swinging?
No.
Should we ask Kamau and Hari if they're into swinging podcasts?
Yeah, we would love to swing podcasts, but they're not Muslim.
Does it matter?
I don't think so.
Everybody's Muslim, according to my dad.
How was it? It sounded great.
It was so fun.
Yeah.
It was so fun. And it was at the UC Berkeley is where we recorded it. They have a recording studio there. And I sounded very smart.
Yeah, you sounded very smart.
And Las Cafetarias is also on the program. And I met all of them at Sundance, the Creative Change Retreat from the Opportunity Agenda. It was rad. I've been doing a lot. Like, I also was in an MTV video.
I saw that. That was awesome.
Called Beyond the Wall. It's about immigration. You can see it on my Facebook page. Like, I'm, like, doing really well.
That's really good.
Thanks. I won an award.
I also won the same award.
Was it the same award?
I got one and you got one.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So we usually have big topics. This time we're calling our big topics Front Lines of the Muslim Brotherhood. We should be Muslim Sisterhood.
No, the Muslim Brotherhood, that's like a thing, guys. By the way.
The Muslim Sisterhood.
Oh, Sisterhood of the Traveling Muslim Pants.
Front line of the Muslim Sisterhood.
Yeah, so, okay, what is this front lines thing?
So in the debate, the most recent debate, when Muslims came up in conversations, Hillary Clinton said this.
That does not solve our internal challenges with ISIS and our need to stop radicalization, to work with American Muslim communities who are on the front lines to identify and prevent attacks.
Basically, Hillary Clinton said that us, as Muslims, are supposed to be at the front line.
Of what?
I'm not in the front line of watching terrorists or extremists or radicals. I'm at the front line of the grocery store, of the drive-through, of waiting at the doctor's office to see my hot doctor.
Yeah, I kind of feel like Hillary Clinton's there breaking glass ceilings and is forgetting that the rest of us aren't at the front. That. Is that what she means by front lines, or does she mean like the kind where you get killed?
Ooh.
Like, are we talking front of the line, or are we talking like front lines, like here comes the army and the front lines, and here these are the people that die first?
She's basically saying that Muslims, by default of being Muslims, that we must somehow be in contact with terrorists, and that we must be the eyes and ears. She said that in debate number two, and then in this debate that we are at the front lines. And it's just so ridiculous because it puts this implicit expectation that we, as Muslims, are completely surrounded by terrorists. But also, like, what about the white terrorists? Are we asking white folks to be at the front lines of watching out for terrorists too? Because there are many out there.
This election was famous for creating a number of slurs that I didn't know were slurs before.
Oh, yeah, like
that. That are now slurs. So, nasty women.
Oh, my gosh.
He called the president to be a nasty woman. What the fuck? He also coined the phrase bad hombres, which of course immediately grabbed my attention because we are the Good Muslim, Bad Muslim podcast. Like, our whole podcast is about who are the good ones, who are the bad ones, and how that notion ruins America. And something that actually is inflammatory was brought down and oversimplified locker room talk.
Ugh.
It's just sexual assault is just locker room talk.
Also, it wasn't a locker room. It was on a bus and you're mic'd.
All right, so let's go in and deconstruct this. Nasty girl.
Are we talking about Janet Jackson, the wonderful Muslim woman who is now pregnant?
She is a Muslim woman. Do people know this?
Yes. They should, because they listen to our podcast. So explain to me why nasty woman is a bad thing and why how he said it makes a difference.
First of all, the way that he says anything makes it sound like a slur.
Totally.
When he says the word Muslims, I feel like he is announcing a slur.
But for me, like, when he said nasty women, I wasn't listening to him. I was listening to Hillary speaking about Obamacare and healthcare and listening to policies. And he just dropped that very slyly, and I just, like, overlooked it until it blew up on Twitter. And I've been trying to understand what it is about how he said this made such a big impact.
That's the thing that grabbed my attention the most, is because she was talking about Obamacare.
Yeah.
And she was lauding President Barack Obama, and I wonder if there is a racial charge to his saying it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously.
Because he's backed by white supremacists.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a thing when it comes to white women coming to the defense of black men. And so I'm curious if that was part of it. Because you're right, it was a really weird place to say, you're such a nasty woman. And I'm really curious if it was charged that way.
I also wonder if Trump was given a bunch of dog whistle codes that he was supposed to pepper throughout the debate. Because he kept saying things like he would say ISIS at really random times, because I think that's what he knows from his PR people, that that is what's going to change people's thinking or make people feel in a certain way. I don't know.
The way he said it was so gross. And I saw it hit her. You know, like I saw it land, because it wasn't like she turned around and was like, did you just call me a nasty woman? Yeah, I am. Nasty woman, get shit done. Like, that came later. You know, it was such a gross use of power in a moment with the use of language that historically is used to call you either a whore or a loose woman, a gross woman. What?
Yeah, and that juxtaposed with the locker room talk, it just, this whole thing just feels insanely sexist.
If I was a woman working for Trump and I heard him say that to the first female running presidential candidate of all time, I would quit and set his shit on fire.
I hope that's happening. I would imagine it's happening.
Kellyanne Conway is not setting his shit on fire.
Oh, Kellyanne Conway.
But, like, after that happened, I just was like, all the way up until then, every woman who's been in defense of Donald Trump, I'm like, well, they're getting paid a lot. Good for them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at this point, like, after that, for me, that just hit viscerally.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, you're all a bunch of Phyllis Schlafly's. I never say her last name right. Phyllis Schlafly was the one who tried to stop the Equal Rights Amendment. And
oh my
actually,
gosh.
She succeeded in stopping the Equal Rights Amendment. That still has not occurred.
Wow.
So, Kellyanne Conway, not a fan, for obvious reasons. The thing that upset me the most, that actually we talked a little bit about on Politically Reactive, is that Billy Bush was there, and it was clear that because of Donald Trump making way, then it was like actually making way for Billy Bush to say shit.
Yeah. The thing that I thought was interesting was Billy Bush is related to the former President Bush. Isn't that his nephew?
Yeah. The thing I also thought was interesting that these are all men in incredible positions of power.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was what I was thinking. I was like, oh, this is just part of like their Republican posse of their good old boys network and them trying to get in with each other.
I heard that Billy Bush sued for like $10
million. Oh, after this happened?
Yeah, like he got money. According to Page6.com, Bush and his legal team have been battling with NBC News chiefs to iron out a settlement valued at around $10 million.
You say sexist shit on hot mice and you get $10 million if you're a white dude.
Maybe we're doing this wrong, Tess. Did you get post-debate headache?
I got post-debate lying on my carpet and staring at the ceiling and not wanting to do anything.
I got so depressed after.
Yeah, and then I went to sleep. I was like, I can't deal with the real world.
I ate a half a gallon of ice cream.
I'm on the whole 30 detox diet, so I can't eat ice cream, but if I could, I would.
I'm lactose intolerant. And so that was a really bad idea. Like, that's how upset I was. Like, I was eating my feelings. I was not okay.
Yeah.
It really affected me. Like, and I was looking at people on Twitter. Like, everybody was posting, like, I actually feel sick right now.
Yeah.
It was, like, 3/4 of the way through.
I got really invested in the debate because we were playing the good Muslim, bad Muslim bingo game. And I was trying really hard to win. And I think it was your tweet. You, like, showed your card, and you're like, I won, but I do not feel good about this win.
I had one golden goose in there, which was duh-ish.
Yeah.
If one of them said duh-ish, or dash, as people commonly know it, then I would have celebrated bingo.
Yeah.
But they didn't, so I just got, like, 5 bingos that made me really miserable.
Oh.
What were your bingos that you got? You had tremendous?
So the words I won in bingo, the good Muslim, bad Muslim bingo game, was China, Middle East, radical, tremendous, religion, terrorism, refugee.
That's the row that you won?
Those are my favorite words from the game.
Bigly was in there for me.
Bigly!
A beautiful thing that was in there for me.
Yeah.
He loves saying that. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. I think he actually thinks that women are beautiful things or ugly things.
Just things.
Yeah.
Not actual humans.
Like, he is the reason why the burqa was invented.
Why?
To be like, I am covering this up. Go away.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Don't grab my pussy. Don't look at me. Don't even fucking talk to me. Go away.
And on the flip side, he has this
pageant.
And he's, like, walking into the dressing room where all the girls are changing. It's so disgusting. Or how he was saying in the debate that all the women were lying. That was bullshit. That was ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. He completely gaslighted all those. His entire campaign is run by gaslighting.
Of course. But there are people that are going to vote for him because that's what they like.
They like gaslighting?
They like to hear only what they want to hear. They don't want to hear actual policies or truth or...
They're racists.
Yeah. That's all they want. And that's how people are voting, unfortunately.
Speaking of things that are unfortunate, I was really hit hard by Hillary's comments. So we have this segment, Dear Hillary, what the fuck? Okay, Dear Hillary, your counter-violent extremism program is crazy problematic.
So problematic. Here's my thing. Here's what happened to me after watching the debate. I got so upset by this frontline conversation. Like, I was with her up until this comment. I know this is a big reason why a lot of Muslims are not voting for her. At least a lot of my Muslim lefty radical friends aren't going to be voting for her because of her stance on how Muslims need to be the eyes and ears of other Muslim people.
What the fuck is that about?
It's stupid because terrorists aren't just Muslims. There are white people too and other kinds of people too. You know, like it's not a Muslim problem, and it just implies that our community needs to be observed. And
well, and it also feeds into the whole notion that we are like would-be terrorists popping up like all over the place.
Yeah.
Just blossoming terrorists here and there. I mean, like there's already been instances of teachers telling little Muslim kids, you're just going to grow up and be a terrorist.
Yeah.
In the way that people, you still say that about young black kids who, you know, they say, oh, you're going to grow up and join a gang. you're going to be a thug, you're going to be a gangster. It's like, these are coded terms. I don't understand why when it comes to Islam, we forget all this.
Yeah.
Like, the racialization of Islam has happened, and then everybody's just, like, moving forward, like, la-di-da-di-da, and here we go, onward.
And that's kind of what the good Muslim narrative is all about. Like, we've been seeing a lot of that in from the Democratic side this election cycle. So you're a good Muslim if you fight in the military. You're a good Muslim if you have a son that fights in the military. You're a good Muslim if you are patriotic. And you're a good Muslim if you're standing up for American values. And I think we should be allowed to be Muslims, however, without having to prove how American we are.
Also, American values are pretty much world value.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, America, as much as it likes to, we don't get the copyright on freedom.
Right.
In fact, I would say women who are working in the healthcare industry in other countries are probably much freer than my mother, who is going to have to probably work until she's 85.
Wait, I'm a little lost.
Like, there's this whole idea of, like, Muslims upholding American values as though there is no intersection, as though they're not the same thing.
Oh, right.
We take these American values, we idolize them, they're revered.
Paul revered.
they get idolized as though, like, these are just American values. Freedom is an American thing. Nobody else in the world has freedom. Like, come on, are you kidding me? Yeah. We have to, like, work like dogs in this country.
Yeah.
I have 6,000 jobs.
Yeah.
On top of having to grab my own pussy down the street now in case Donald Trump and Billy Bush would stroll by.
Oh, gosh.
So her whole thing about gold star Muslim families, I thought that was so fucked up that it was like this notion of like the model minority.
Yeah, the good Muslim narrative. So here's my issue with all of this is that in usual elections, usual campaigns, the campaign cycle is where we ask these candidates to pay attention to our issues. This is classic organizing political model of democracy. This is what civic engagement is about. You, in the campaign cycle, you tell the candidate what you want from society, and then you elect the person based on what you're asking for. And then after the person's elected, you do accountability. You do lobby visits. You write letters. You do petitions, all to make sure that this elected politician makes sure to pass laws and policies and things that are important to you and that they campaigned for. My problem with this election cycle is that because Hillary has been running against this terrible, terrible man, the bar is set really low. She doesn't really have to do anything after she's elected, and it's still going to be better than Trump. And I think when it comes to how Hillary has been selling herself and how she's talking about the Muslim community, I don't think anyone from President Obama's camp would use the same kind of language that is being used on Hillary Clinton's side. But that's not what the comparison is. Now, our comparison with her is to Trump, and it's just really frustrating me. And my dear Hillary is, don't do that. I'm going into the next 3 weeks as if Hillary is going to win and she's going to be our next president. And I'm ready to hold her accountable and to make sure that she doesn't do a White House program that is countering violent extremism. Not to say that Obama hasn't done it either. Like, President Obama has a countering violent extremism program that the DHS has been trying to push on us. But I would like to, dear Hillary, don't do that. Because we are more than just eyes and ears and see something, say something in front lines. We are just normal, regular people with normal, regular lives.
Even if it's irregular, you still can't do that. I think it's important to mention, like, I still get to be the grumpy Muslim next door. And totally. You still don't get to survey me just because I'm grumpy.
Exactly.
I have a lot to be grumpy about. And speaking of vitriol, where our eyes and ears actually should be is on the Trump goons that are getting incited by his racist rants, committing hate crimes, which are, again, on the rise. We have a new website that we just discovered that counts the number of hate crimes that we have had so far. The number is at 289.
Just for 2016 alone. We're not even done with 2016.
You can find this at testkitchen.huffingtonpost.com. It's tracking Islamophobic incidents across the United States. And man, I didn't even know about, like, I thought we were keeping track.
Yeah, we should be using this. We have some awesome Muslim writers at Huffington Post who have been running this. So I'm really excited that this website has been created. I think one of the things that I keep talking about when I do talks is that when 9/11 happened, there were a lot of backlash hate crimes. But now we're seeing more hate crimes, more pointed. And the hate crimes that we're seeing isn't in response to an event in society. What we're seeing now is a response to deliberate funding of hate speech, of marginalizing Muslims, of political rhetoric that is deliberately meant to get a certain type of people angry enough to turn out to the polls. We are a part of a tactic that is an electoral strategy. And that's what's so scary. It's so strategic. And sometimes it feels like I'm just a piece of a puzzle and there's no breaking it.
Honestly, it's felt that way for a year for me. I feel like I've just been watching it. And to be honest, watching the election sort of peter out here. And I mean, I'm saying peter out right now because we're like post debate three. And it's like, well, how much worse can it get? And it always gets so much worse. And I don't know when this podcast is coming out. It could be in the apocalypse. I could be in my bunker listening to my own podcast to keep me company. In which case, hey, future Zara, in the apocalypse, how's it going? A lot of the things that Trump has been calling for in terms of deportation, the Obama administration actually has done.
Totally.
And a lot of the kind of surveillance that Trump is calling for, based off of what Hillary Clinton has said so far, I don't know that she's not going to do that.
Yeah.
She hasn't said, of course, we're not going to ban Muslims. She's just turned it around and said, you guys are going to call each other out. So I'd like to begin by saying, Taz Ahmed, I am super suspicious of you and I want to be a gold star Muslim.
So Zara, you did some research on what was happening in Kansas, right?
Yeah. Speaking of people that we need to keep our eyes and ears on.
Crazy white terrorists, radical extremists who are white men.
No, Taz, they are crusaders.
Crusaders. Who named them crusaders? Was this in the media?
They are self-identified crusaders.
Ugh.
They call this a religious war.
Of course they do. Kansas.
Oh my God. So Patrick Stein, Gavin Wright, and Curtis Allen, all grown men who are about 50 years old, okay, these aren't even like 17-year-old boys, are all charged with conspiring to use a weapon of mass destruction. They were arrested Friday in what the government says was a foiled plot to attack an apartment complex where one unit was used as a mosque. And they were planning on doing it on November 9th, the day after the election.
Why then?
I assume so that no matter how this quote-unquote rigged election goes, they are able to get theirs. And also because they said that they wanted to incite a religious war in the United States. The land of the free.
In Kansas.
One of them was willing to kill another's girlfriend to protect this conspiracy.
Oh my gosh.
And when you find out how far it went, then that kind of makes sense because it's horrifying. They had an arsenal of firearms, ammunition, bomb-making materials, aerial photographs of another church, a Burmese mosque, X'd out.
Wow.
And it was the first time that I finally heard white guys called domestic terrorists.
Slow clap. Yeah, I think it was pretty terrible. I just don't have anything to say on this because it's just so tragic. It's so scary to think that this Somalian community, which tend to be refugee community in the Midwest, they're fleeing danger and bad things, badness. This is now Trump language. I'm now just going to use bigly and badly and badness in weird ways.
They are refugees, and it's really difficult to get refugee status in the first place.
Yeah, and that they're in this apartment complex, and that they wanted to blow it up because sometimes they use one of the apartments as a mosque. And I remember being young, and my family would do that when we would move around. We would be in these small towns in the Midwest, and someone would change their living room, and that's where we would go, and we would pray. This was way back in the days, and I just have so much empathy for this community to have to deal with this kind of fear.
Remember in the debates when Donald Trump said that if Hillary won, he wouldn't concede?
Yeah, I remember that.
I'm waiting for the day he gets arrested for treason. I mean, technically, if you're going to go to the source, it would be Donald Trump.
Yeah.
He has been the one creating this language, inciting this vitriol.
But do you think that would happen if Hillary gets elected?
He threatened Hillary with locking her up. I would like it to see it go the other way.
But, you know, in a democracy, we want to not arrest each candidate.
Do we need evidence? I don't need a fucking Russian hacker to bring me Donald Trump evidence. I don't need to go hunting for that. It's right here.
You heard it here first. That was Zara.
And if Donald Trump is president and this is the apocalypse and I'm in a cave somewhere, future Zara, remember hopscotch? I'm just giving myself activities.
Okay.
Movement is important in the apocalypse, no matter how small your bunker.
The thing that I've been thinking a lot about is, I don't know if you saw Linda Sarsour's Facebook message couple of days ago. She was canvassing and she ended up canvassing on this hijabi family's door. She wasn't supposed to canvass their door, but she saw a Trump poster on their yard. Then she saw the woman walk out wearing a hijab. So she went up and did the Muslim nod thing and like had a conversation.
Dude, okay, first off, I do not want to be the Muslim with a Trump sign on my lawn when Linda Sarsour walks by. Go on.
So she had this really amazing conversation with this family, and they were saying that they have to have the Trump sign because, you know, how the neighbors are, what are the neighbors going to think? They need to make sure that they're safe. And that's why they did it. And then she's like, yeah, but you're not really going to vote for him. And they were like, but what other choices do we have? We have to vote for him. And it was heartbreaking. That is how incestuous and deliberate and invasive Trump's political Muslim rhetoric is getting into folks who it shouldn't be getting into, and it's frightening.
I mean, they're basically saying that they believe that their vote is going to be surveyed.
Their vote is going to be surveyed. They don't want to be hurt if something happens to them. They think they're going to be safer if Trump wins in the neighborhoods that they're in.
Screw treason. He should already be arrested for voter intimidation.
Yeah, that's literally what we're observing right now.
I like that there's just this slew of possible things to arrest Trump for. Sexual assault, money laundering, not paying his taxes, voter intimidation.
How he's treason. Not been arrested until now, I don't understand. Politics.
White men.
Okay, I just have one more thing to bring up, and I can't not bring this up. About a couple months ago, I saw this poster going around saying that in Edison, New Jersey, that there would be some fancy Bollywood dance party with all these Bollywood stars coming from Mumbai, and Trump was going to speak. And I was livid because I know on the West Coast, we have a bunch of radical Desis that would totally protest that. So I was trying to figure out who's in Jersey. Thank goodness we have them. On October 15th, the Republican Hindu Coalition in New Jersey held an event for Donald Trump. I mean, they called the event Humanity United Against Terror, and it was this like super Islamophobic event where they were raising money for the victims of terrorism in Kashmir and elsewhere in the subcontinent, victims of Islamophobia. And it was such a fiasco. There was dancing, there was scary posters of horns on Hillary Clinton, there was Trump sitting in a lotus blossom.
Oh my God.
This yoga pose. I don't even know if Trump can like do.
That picture looks so awkward.
It was so awkward. Clearly photoshopped.
Well, yeah. I don't think he's ever pulled off lotus pose.
It was like a lotus pose, red, white, and blue poster. And Om was filled in with the American flag. It was so ridiculous. Also ridiculous. I think this was the best part of this madness. Is that they had this dance show. Zara and I were watching it on Twitter.
It was amazing. And by amazing, I mean horrifying.
All right, so Zara, tell me what you saw.
Okay, so there are these nice, lovely people dancing.
Mm-hmm. Like boxtrot or something. Something like super classic.
Like the waltz.
Yeah.
And then these jihadis come in.
Yeah.
With lightsabers.
Dressed in like potato sacks. I think it was they were trying to make fun of the burqa.
Where's my lightsaber? That's what I want to know.
I know.
And attacked the waltzing couples.
With lightsabers.
With their lightsabers.
Because apparently that's what ISIS does. They do lightsaber attacks on dancing people.
And really badly, I might add. They were just kind of like, blah, 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 I've got a lightsaber.
And then the Navy comes in, or the
Navy SEALs.
Navy SEALs. In their, like, patriotic gear.
Dun-da-da-da.
And they do a dance fight on stage with the lightsaber men.
The dance fight, that was legit. That was pretty good.
Like any Bollywood movie dance fight choreograph is.
But just for fascism.
Right.
And xenophobia.
Yeah. And then after that, they do the Star Spangled Banner, right? Everyone starts singing the Star Spangled Banner.
God, this is like, we are Nazi Germany.
Also, this was real life. This isn't satire. Like, I would have satirized this as like a scene in a movie. But no, this was real.
This is like Triumph of the Will type shit. Hitler made a movie. You should check it out. It'll look really familiar. It'll feel really familiar right now. Like, we are Germany. Germany's economy was in the tank, and there was this celebrity candidate, Hitler, who was crazed. Everybody said crazed, ranting about the Jews, and he won. And people followed suit in a big, big way. I don't think I need to rehash the rest of that story for anybody else. Yeah. But I get really annoyed by people who are like, how low can humanity get? And I'm like, do you really need a reminder?
Yeah. I mean, Modi was pretty low. And I think this alliance between Trump and Modi, which is clearly what Trump's trying to do, is just one. In India, Modi is well known for killing masses of people in Ahmedabad.
They're called pogroms.
Pogroms. And is why he was banned from entering the U.S. until he won.
He won on an anti-Muslim ticket.
Totally won on an anti-Muslim ticket. And Trump's trying to, leverage that and run on an anti-Muslim ticket, too.
Which is, weird because Trump is also backed by white supremacists. And I don't know that they would stop in their hate criming.
Oh, you're a Hindu? Oh, I'm sorry. That's not who we were attacking. No, that's not going to happen. They're going to say, brown guy, you're Osama.
No, I'm one of the good ones.
Do you think they have shirts? Do you think they were handing those shirts out? I'm one of the good ones.
Well, during World War II, I know that Chinese Americans had signs out front that said Chinese American, not Japanese American.
I would not be surprised if the people that went to this event would do that. The two final things I want to bring up on this point is that one of the funny things that Trump said at the event was that he was a big fan of Hindu, clearly not understanding that Hindu is a religion.
Ugh, I shouldn't laugh. This is terrible.
That was pretty funny. And the second thing I want to say is that Indian Americans aren't voting for Trump. Of all the Asian American ethnicities out there, Indian Americans are the ones who are most likely to be voting Clinton. I think the percentage is at 70%, 80%. This is from a national report that we'll be sharing on our website. This event that we're referring to is just kind of the really small percentage of super rich, super Islamophobic Indians, Hindus that are out there. They don't speak for me.
Okay, so it's a pretty scary time to go out voting at all.
Yes.
Taz, you want to talk more about our voting guide?
Yeah, I'm so excited we got to do this video. I think it was really funny how when we were leaving recording, I was like, this has always been my dream. And one of the guys that was working with us was like, you're excited about making a video? I was like, no, making a voting video. This is what I've always wanted to do, was create a Muslim voting video to help all of you all to know your rights. So
here are the five things you're going to want to know on election day.
So the first one is voter intimidation at the polls. It is illegal, even though Trump is sending out all of his so-called poll watchers to the polls. These poll watchers need to be certified by the local elections office. And I'm pretty sure that who he's sending out will not be certified by the local elections office.
Did you know I'm a certified poll watcher?
I'm not sure about that.
Oh, what's number two?
Number two is about photo ID laws. Here in California, you don't need to show a photo ID unless you are a first-time registered voter, but in different states, you have to show your ID depending on the state. So know your laws, know the laws in your state. And also, there's no such thing as voter ID.
So if anyone asks for it, say nope. And if they're harassing you, you can ask for number three, which is a provisional ballot.
And what is a provisional ballot?
It's a makeup ballot.
Yeah!
So if some argument ensues and they don't feel like you should be voting, then you can say, fine, just give me a provisional ballot.
And they do get counted. Different states have different laws on having your provisional ballot counted. But at minimum, don't walk away from the poll without asking for this.
You also have a right to a translator,
which is one of my favorite rights. People don't know this. So do tell all your limited English speaking family, friends, let them know that they can bring a translator. It doesn't even have to be an official translator. They can bring a family member. They can bring their kid to the polls to help them translate.
There's a lot of lingo on those ballots.
Yeah, you should probably take someone who can translate well, but doesn't have to be anyone official.
And you have the right to leave the ballot blank.
Right, because we have a lot of things to vote on this elections. I think everyone always gets really stressed by the time they get to the down ballot. I'm not trying to discourage down ballot voting. I think it's important that everyone becomes educated and vote on everything that they feel smart and educated on. Just don't feel super stressed that you don't know the answer to everything. It's fine to leave some of it blank.
And here's a number six we're adding that's not on our fusion video, but after the debate, we felt like we kind of need.
Because there are so many goons out there and so much fear going on and people are scared to show up at the polls, you can do early voting, figure out what the laws are in your county. Here in LA County, you have to go to the Registrar of Voters office in Norwalk. Or you can do absentee voting, which is what I do. I vote by mail and I'll be filling it out and I'll be dropping it off at the polling place. Finally, we just want to tell people that you shouldn't feel scared to show up to the polling place. Take a friend with you. Do something that makes you feel safe. It doesn't have to be a lonely, scary experience. It can actually be fun. Zara, will you go with me to my polling place?
I'll totally go with you.
Will you protect me from scary people?
I will kick ass.
All right.
Don't touch my friend.
All right.
last up, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Halloween!
It's our favorite holiday.
I love this holiday because it's my chance to wear my abaya and be a witch, or my Indian clothes and be a gypsy.
Okay, so speaking of, you're allowed to do that.
Yes, because I'm brown, and I'm just pulling into the closet of clothes that I already own for my normal everyday wear.
I think it's important to mention, Halloween is not Cultural Appropriation Day.
It's not.
Cultures are not costumes.
They are not.
So this is a list of costumes we do not want to see.
Yes.
Number one, non-hijab wearing women wearing hijab. That is not a costume.
Nope.
Number two, pigs' heads.
It's just rude.
It's rude.
Totally rude.
Number three, I don't want to see any Donald Trump costumes.
You know there's going to be a shit ton of Donald Trump costumes.
And this is not even problematic. This is just completely my personal preference. I don't want to see him.
I kind of want to see the sexy Trump, though. Like, I kind of want to see a woman playing a sexy Trump.
Why?
I think it'd be funny.
There's a sexy Ken Bone costume.
What?
Yeah, it's $100.
So we're not going to talk about it in this episode, but do listen to our last Halloween episode because we talk about growing up and having to wear costumes because our parents didn't know what Halloween was. It was really funny and really fun to record that. So instead of doing that narrative again, we're going to give you lists this time. So we're going to do top 10 scariest Halloween costumes for Muslims.
Number one, the ISIS Trojan horse.
Which we're bringing up because in the debate, Donald Trump said that all Syrian refugees were ISIS Trojan horse. And I was like, that would be a good costume, an ISIS Trojan horse.
Also, Muslims are the most scared of ISIS.
Totally.
ISIS kills Muslims.
Yeah.
Number two. Okay, this is like a series of t-shirts that scare the shit out of me, Taz. If I see a t-shirt that says, I am a private citizen voting for Trump, or make America great again, or this one scares the shit out of me, I'm an undecided voter in a swing state.
The next one is Kellyanne Conway, Donald Trump's campaign manager. I mean, latest campaign manager, because we know we've had a few.
He's had a couple.
Yeah.
Number four, be a Victorian-style gaslight that's actually gaslighting people.
What do you mean by gaslighting?
Gaslighting is when somebody manipulates you into questioning your own sanity.
Oh, so if you're dressed up like a gaslight and you're telling me you're not a gaslight, but I'm seeing that you're a gaslight, that means I'm getting gaslit.
Exactly.
Got it.
Or if you're like, Donald Trump is a racist, and I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm like, I think I'm going crazy because he's so racist.
Gaslight.
Oh. So basically, Donald Trump, gaslight?
Donald Trump, gaslight. So a gaslight with a red tie.
Number five, the Southwest flight attendant. Because, you know, when you're on a Southwest flight and you're Muslim, you get, like, kicked off.
Oh, you had me at Southwest flight attendant.
Yeah. They just have to, like, stare, take away cans of Coke. Listen to people say inshallah and kick them off the plane.
Number six, Janet Jackson's outfit from Nasty. Because she's a Muslim woman taking back Nasty.
Nasty but girl.
That's not really scary. It's just not badass. Scary.
Yeah. This next one is what I really want to be. I want to be a Playboy burkini.
Explain, please.
Because you know how burkinis were all the rage last month in our Muslim garbage episode?
Oh, yeah.
And then we talked about how a Muslim woman was in Playboy magazine. I just want to, like, conflate both memes together and be, like, one costume of two memes.
So you'll have, like, bunny ears.
Bunny ears on a burkini.
Something in me wants to say only a Muslim woman can wear this.
Totally. This is my costume alone.
Number eight, ISIS Bollywood dancers with lightsabers.
Yeah, because I just need lightsabers.
Number nine is for me. Hazrat Ali. Prophet Ali.
But I thought you couldn't draw Prophet Ali.
This is how I was raised. I was raised to believe that you cannot draw an image or likeness of Imam Ali.
Uh-huh.
And my old, like, religion teacher, when I drew him once when I was a little kid, I was like five, she ran up behind me and she erased his face.
So now you're going to dress up like him.
Well, it turns out that, like, actually there are likings of him in my grandmother's village in Iran. Everybody has pictures of him and he's hot.
You failed to mention that earlier.
Oh, yeah, by the way, he's hot. I want to be hot, Ali, prophet.
Yeah, do it. Just don't go to the mosque dressed up like that.
It's supposed to be okay.
If you go, let me video camera behind you.
I'll cover my chest hair.
Yeah. And the final one is the hijabi, which we talked a lot about in a past episode.
Which also, don't dress up as a hijabi if you're not a Muslim woman.
But what if you already look like a Barbie?
Be you. Do you.
Be you. Dress up in however you want to this Halloween. Just, you know, don't do anything problematic. So since this was our special edition, we don't have our usual segments, but we are including one final usual segment because this is so important.
Fatwa.
Fatwa.
Don't vote for Trump.
Don't vote for Trump.
Easy.
And go vote November 8th.
Don't vote for Trump.
But don't vote for Trump. No matter what state you're in, don't do it.
If you do, I don't like you on a personal level.
If you do, don't just stop listening to us. We don't want to talk to you.
If you do vote for Trump, I hope that when you go to the frozen yogurt place, they are out of Fruity Pebbles and you can't have it with a tart flavor. Because that's really good. I hope you can't have that.
It's been a tough election. I hope you all are staying well and staying sane as we head to November 8th. And be safe. If this other November 9th event happened, then who knows what else is going to happen. So be careful out there.
But on a happy note, go vote. Go vote.
Go vote.
Thanks for listening to the Good Muslim, Bad Muslim podcast, hosted by Taz Ahmed and Zara Nourmash. You can follow Taz on Twitter at TazzyStar, that's TAZZYSTAR, and Zara at Zara Comedy, that's ZAHRA Comedy. The show is produced and edited by Quincy Sarasmith, and you can find us on the web at GoodMuslimBadMuslim.com. To follow the conversation, please use the hashtag GoodMuslimBadMuslim. Good Muslim, Bad Muslim is a proud member of Potluck, a collective that features stories and voices from the Asian American community.
Revered.
Paul Revered.